Happy Thursday, boys and girls. My name is Jerry Scott Mitchell. Coming to you live on Memorex from an undisclosed location. As you can tell by the Jeep hat, which is crooked, because I had it sitting in the car with some stuff on top of it, which don't matter. I probably need to wash it and let it resize itself anyway. Some of the stuff you see when you walk out here, it's exciting. It really is exciting. I'm kind of joking, exciting, but it really is. Exciting doesn't have to be roller coaster exciting. Exciting could just be, you know, there's a special program coming on tonight, exciting. Or your show has been renewed, exciting. There are different levels of excitement. And to come out here and to walk as much as I do, to be outside and a part and engaged in outsideness, outside of my apartment, outside on the street, the open air, but the open people, the things that go on out here, to be exposed to that has got to be something. It has got to be something, because there was times where I better stay in my apartment for 2 straight days. From Friday when I got off work and went home until Monday when I had to leave. And I had no problem with being in that one bedroom apartment. None at all. But now, I almost can't do it. I can't. Well, I mean, I could do anything I want. Because I'm Jerry Scott Mitchell, damn it, but to the point now, I got to get out. I got to get out and be out and this and that. And, you know, I got to be not a part of it, but experience it. My body is so used to being out here. And over the last month, maybe month and a half, 2 months or weeks or so, at least the last seven weeks, because that's when the last time I took a day off. Last time I took a day off was like 7 weeks ago. I've been feeling good. And I've been getting stuff done. And one of the things I've been getting done is processing all my videos. All these walking videos I've made, I usually just take them and post them to Facebook without an explanation on them or anything, just the date. Me talking _ 2024 08, blah, blah, blah. But I found a process now to where I can upload them to YouTube, a transcript would be created, and then from that I can do a summary and then post a nice little description with detailed stuff, blah, blah, blah. And in doing that, I think I've probably done a couple hundred of them, and still probably got a couple hundred more to go, over a couple hundred, maybe. Okay, the phone overheated, video stopped, at least the video got saved before it shut the app down. But anyway, it got too hot, so I took the case off of it. And more, there's an argument that could be made that I don't need the case anymore. Well, I mean, need might not be the word, but it's an older phone, a couple years, it's still in good condition. This phone is in the best condition for as long as I had it of any phone I've ever had because of that case. I spent $40 on that case. I've never spent that much money on a case before. And when I'm using it, when I'm shooting this video without the case, it's much easier to carry. So I might have to look into that. And it fits in my pocket a lot easier. You know, I'm just worried about scratches and, you know, stuff on the condition of the phone. I'm not gonna turn it in anyway, so I guess it don't matter. But anyway, I had to take the case off so this doesn't overheat and shoot the video. So what was I? So I guess I was talking about how I'm processing the videos, hundreds of videos. I think I looked at Apple Podcasts and I had 268 of them in there on Apple. The hell was that? Did you hear that? What the hell? Sounded like a spawn. Oh no, I don't have my mic on. Hold on. Where'd I put it? Let me see what happens if I put it on, if it'll turn right back on. If I just plug it in. Because I took the case off, so I had to take the mic off. Yep, looks like it did it. It just popped right on. Okay, is that better? That'd be a nice little test to see how that came out. But anyway, so Apple Podcasts said I had like 268 podcasts in Apple Podcasts. I guess that might be about right. I'm not sure. I have no idea. You know, Spotify, I never counted them. I probably will, though. Probably try to do an export and try to see, you know, just how many I got in there. But I think I got like 250 more to go, over 250 more to go. They need to be processed, roughly speaking, based on the amount of files that are in a folder that need to be processed. But anyway, in doing that, going through and watching the summaries and all that, I noticed how much I talk about my weight and the health thing and the walking and the Mr. Scale and how I eat. A lot of the videos are titled health and well-being or weight consciousness or this or that. And that's okay. That's okay. And I just say that's okay for lack of a better way of saying it in the moment, because number one, it is Jeffrey TV, and it's going to be about me. And more so, it's what's on my mind. I just come out here and say whatever I'm thinking. You know, there's really no script. There's no idea to not talk about this and not talk about that. Or sometimes there's a make sure you talk about this. And it's not really a make sure you talk about this. It's more like, ooh, this happened yesterday. I got to talk about it. Or I'm just so inclined to talk about it that it just comes out. Like if I see something political or in the media or an event, I'm just inclined to talk about it. And it's not so much, you know, ooh, I got to talk about it mentally. It's like, ooh, I got to talk about it subconsciously before I even think about anything. It's already in me. I was, okay, we got to get this out. But anyhow. And so the focus of me talking about my weight is a thing. You know, and it's exercise, and being out here and ongoing struggle, quote unquote struggle with my weight and all that. And I said before, maybe I do it because I am braggadocious to a certain point. I do want to live as an example. I do want to show people that it can be done. And I'm very confident that I can do it. In fact, very confident is an understatement. I know I can do it. I will do it eventually. And to show people that it can be done and how I do it is definitely a part of this whole Jeffrey TV thing. To live as an example, to be that example of these things I talk about. To be an example of my philosophy, how I think, why I think. To be an example maybe of how and why it works for me. And I've known not to expect to export it. I know that it's not to be kind of pushed out there, or definitely not forced on anybody. But you kind of want, what is this going on up here? Should I let y'all see this? Yeah, it's nothing. We'll see. It's kind of not like that I'm it's kind of braggadocious. It's definitely, I'm definitely bragging. I'm definitely trying to, you know, show people what I'm doing, how I'm doing it. But I know I can't say this is the way you should live. This is how it should be done. You know, this is what you want to do. It's definitely not that. It's just an example. Say, look, here's what I say. Y'all know how I think, pretty much. When I walk by people, they straighten up a lot. When I walk by people, they straighten up some. And they start acting right, whatever that means. I notice that. Because they, and I say they because I don't know if that was a male or female back there. They looked like they was getting ready to go into a little bit of dance interpretation or something. Maybe kind of act out a little scene for themselves. But and it's so easy for me just to cut the video on and record myself. I've been doing this for a long time. I look back on my videos, I've been preparing. I don't know if you can say preparing, but I've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing this for so long, it's inherent. I've been doing this for so long, I'm past the point of, how come everybody else ain't doing it? How come everybody doesn't do this? How can you not document everything you think and say and place it out there in the universe, at least in one place, to have what you say or think written down or displayed outside of your own head and thought to be out there for other people? I mean, how can you not do that? How can you go to your grave knowing there's a lot of things you think, thought, and say, and believe in, and this and that, that nobody else has heard, or that the world or humanity doesn't have an opportunity to hear that or to know that information? I mean, to me, this is like my life goal, to just about pretty much have every thought that I've ever had out there on the internet. But basically right now it's on the internet. Actually, the idea is for it to live in posterity forever. And one way to do that is the internet, to get it out there. Make all my videos free to download. You know, just want to spread it out there. Just get it out there and let history act on it. I'm like, how can you not want to do that? That's just like, I don't know. And it's like I said, it's inherent. To me, it's like normal. It's like, this is what you're supposed to do. You know, just like other people think, you know, people believe, oh yeah, you're supposed to believe in Jesus. You know, you're supposed to believe in God. You know, you're supposed to believe in that. They just naturally think, you know, that's the way it is. What do you mean you don't believe in God? Everybody believes in God. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't want to tell people what you think? What do you mean you have ideas that maybe nobody will ever hear? Now, it could be that you don't feel that these ideas are worthy. And worthy may not be the right word. Or you may think nobody would appreciate it. And I'm way past that. Worthy and appreciated, I'm way, way, way past that. I'm at the point where humanity needs. It's crucial that I get out what I say to save humanity. Now, I'm not really there, because saving implies doom. And doom implies that there's an ending or an act or a point or a situation to where it's negative. And a lot of my thinking stems around the fact that there is no good or bad, positive or negative. There just is. And there's no way of knowing, you know, what good or bad or doomed is. You could say, maybe, man, stop. I don't care, speed off like you, man. You better speed off. I mean, it could be that, you know, life on Earth was put here to fill the planet up with, here go another one. Could be life thing was put here to fill the planet up with people so that another organism can eat it. That could be what it was for. And that another organism eats it may be the bigger picture, the bigger fundamental basis of the universe or the universes. Maybe this universe is just a cell and it's maturing and growing to a point like a fruit. And then we get so much life on the planet, it becomes a nurturing morsel for some other creature or entity or organism or whatever to consume and eat. We could just be like a berry on a, this universe could be just like a berry on a tree, a plum or apple on a tree. Once it gets ripe, you know, boom, boom, boom. Or the universe could be that, whatever. We don't know. So in our minds, since everything is subjective and this fits, everything being subjective, in our minds, the end of humanity is the ultimate catastrophe, subjectively speaking. But if you step back farther out, maybe the end of humanity will lead to the evolution or creation of another life form that, quote unquote, does better or, quote unquote, goes farther or does more or improves the situation. So everything is relative. And since we really don't know what the goal of life is or the goal of this universe is or anything, it's hard to say what's good or what's bad. It's really hard to, you can't really say. You don't know. Now look at this one. Wow, today's the day, ain't it? Homie just laid out there right in the middle of the street. Like, I mean, you get used to this stuff. I was talking to a customer at work. You just kind of get used to it, you know? You just, like they said, you become numb to it. You just become numb to it, you know? And that one guy, the second guy that I showed back there that was sitting on the grass, I see him out here every day. He'd be like scratching scabs and sores on his body. He'd be bleeding. I've seen him out here multiple times for the last at least few weeks. I gotta be aware of the left turn signal. Even though the light is, you know, favoring me, I gotta be aware of the left turn signal. Even though the red do not walk sign is on, I don't pay attention to that so much, and I probably should. But I do have to be aware of the left turn signal. So, you know, we really don't know. We really, really don't know. And I guess to put that in perspective, me losing this, me trying to keep my weight down and my focus on my weight and I guess health. I don't even consider my health. Wow, I figure I'm healthy. I ain't worried about my health. I just want the weight off. And to equate the weight, getting my weight off and health, I probably never really even made that connection until just now. And I probably still haven't. I probably just said it because it sounds like the thing that should be said. But everything is relative. Everything is subjective. And the only thing that determines what's important is you. The only thing that determines what's important in life, or what life is about, or the goal of life, or why we are here, or what you believe, or how you believe, is you. Nobody else can tell you anything. Or they can tell you. And you can accept it too. Believe me, this whole God thing and Jesus and religion and Christianity thing, sure, it was fed, it was manufactured, created, and fed to the masses to control them and to appease them, to pacify them. But they accepted it, they willingly accepted it, because it was easy. It was easy. It was like Christianity. I can be a Christian and believe in this God, and I don't have to get circumcised. I want that one. You mean I don't have to get circumcised if I believe in this? Okay. Let's try this religion. Let's go over here and see what this one is about. People do that now with different churches. They go and they see what church resonates best with them. So many different beliefs. And people try to say, oh no, it's all the same. It's one God. They all kind of have things in common. No, they don't. No, the hell they don't. They have doctrine. And they have catechisms, I think is the word, that distinguish them from the other one. And all of them say there's only one true God. And there can only be one true. You know, Judaism and Christianity, no matter how much you want to ration it out, it to be the same, it's not. Sure, maybe more things in common, but it's not the same. Hinduism, Buddhism, they're all different. They have different names for a reason, because they're different. And they say, oh, there's only one God. We're all worshiping the same higher source. No, we're not. Islam, nope, no, we're not. And it's cool. Believe what you want. We need all kinds. Because you never know. You never know. We want to have certain parts of humanity vested just in case the Islam God come back. Humanity, all the Islam people survive. And humanity survives. Just in case Jesus comes back, we have all the Jesus believers survive. And in the long run, humanity survives. And that's the, I think that's the goal of life. And not just humanity. I'm just talking in terms of humanity survive. Life, period. All the different kind of organisms that can survive under such, you know, extreme conditions. We need them, because you never know. Something hit this earth, boom, boom, boom. Maybe the only life that survive is organisms that feed off the thermal vents in the bottom of the ocean. Where there's no sun, no light, no oxygen, or whatever, whatever, whatever. Maybe that's the spark of life. And then that's the only thing to survive. And a few billion years later, it evolves into something somewhere else. Probably not even here. That's the survival of life, not just humanity. It's not just about humanity. All right, I'm gonna stop this and stop it. I don't want it to overheat and lose the video. So, you never know. We don't know. The answer is we don't know. The big answer is we don't know, and I like it that way. I think that's the best way. It's wide open. I am my own God. I can create my own gods. I can create my own doctrine. There is no ultimate right or wrong. If you're looking to the Bible to be your guide, that's your choice, your decision. No God makes you do that. Nobody makes you do that. You get a certain, well, until you're like 18, 19, you're old enough to be an adult. When you're a kid, you're going to believe in Jesus. Or you're going to believe in Allah or whatever. You're going to go and sit through your parents' religion, at least in the United States. Because church is a big part of life here, and I understand. Not just religious-wise and spiritual, but socially. Alliances, as I've said before, that's where you find your babysitters and people to cut your grass. It's a social gathering. It can be used for a lot of things. Find your boyfriend, your girlfriend in church, you know. especially people coming together under a common belief or a common idea, would be somewhat like-minded. And you can see how that would work out, to kind of start off on a basis of some similar thoughts and beliefs, and then go from there. Especially religiously, because it's a little bit deeper than, say, like, all the Steeler fans get together, and we all love the Steelers, and that'd be common. The depth of that understanding isn't as deep as a spiritual or ideology or theology. The whole idea of principle behind Christianity. If you can come to meet somebody who has a similar understanding and belief in a religion as you do, you're starting off on some fairly common ground. You know, I mean, some fairly important common ground. So you really can't, I don't put church down. Church is an organization. I don't put it down. I like church. I like going to church. I don't go, but I like it. I even like Mass, the solemnness of Mass. Oftentimes I'll go on my vacations out there seeing people or whatever. I'll end up in a church. I walk by a church, especially if I'm in Europe. You know, hell, one time I was in Minneapolis. Minneapolis, I stopped in a church, big, huge cathedral. I forget what the name of it was, but it was like a famous one there. I just went in there and sat for like a half hour. You know, sit in the pew, took a few pictures, just kind of, you know, vibed it out. You hear the echo of everything, you know, the whispers and just the movements. Everybody's, you know, that serene kind of respectful movement and as such. So even though I'm an atheist, I do appreciate religious tradition, especially the art and the architecture. Love the art and architecture. Oh my God, statues of angels. Oh my God, some of my favorite. First place I ever went in Europe, I went right to the Vatican. I had to see it. Catholic school. Learned a lot about Catholicism. Hail Mary is my favorite prayer. Just the tradition in it. The stoic, if that's the word, you know, manner of it. Formal, pristine. The formality of it to it and the ritual. I had to go to the Vatican. I wanted to see it. I wanted to see how big it was, what it was about, get the feel for the place. When I found out, before I knew I found out, well, I didn't find out until I went to Westminster Abbey in London. Probably two and a half, two. That these buildings are mausoleums. The Vatican is nothing but a bunch of, it's a crypt, it's a huge, you got bodies buried there, entombed there, memorialized there, everywhere. Westminster Abbey, you walk in, there's bodies in the walls. There's tombs or whatever, crypts or whatever you want to call them in the walls. And when you walk in, you walk right over Sir Isaac Newton and Darwin, I think. They're on the floor. You walk right over them. And I said, where's the, because I asked the, when I attended, I was like, where is, you know, Isaac Newton and Darwin? Because, you know, I wanted to get those pictures. He said, well, and he was all, you could tell he was kind of, you know, those guides are. Those assistants at museums and galleries, they take so much pride in their work and they're so, you know, grateful to help. that you just go, oh, you can just feel it. You say, well, come on. You know, and probably me being my demographic, he may not often get, you know, a person, single black male, maybe dressed the way I was, you know, the style and the way I carried myself, to be interested in such things. So he was like, well, come on. He showed me. And he went back and looked down on the ground. Yep, I had to walk right over Isaac Newton or Darwin, whichever one it was. One of them was in the wall, but the other one wasn't. And the Vatican was the same way. And a lot of these churches I went to a church in Berlin. I think it was Berlin, it was one of them, or Paris, one of them. In the bottom was a crypt or mausoleum, whatever you call it, in the basement. It's got all these saints or whatever buried there. And it's real, you know, not creepy, but it's more honorable and reverent. You know, there's a deep sense of history. Oh my God, a super deep sense of history. And you get a vibe from it. I get a vibe from it. So, being an atheist, I can appreciate church and humanity. Love humanity. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The best parts of humanity lie in the weakness of the flesh. There's going to be aliens to come here. It's going to be an awe, amazement, and admire us for our freedom of consciousness. The fact that we do so many things that don't benefit us, that are even detrimental to us. The fact that we have the capability to go beyond instinct and to actually engage and celebrate things that are just bad for you, but fulfilling. And there are probably also going to be species in the universe that don't get this pleasure reward. They don't have that pleasure reward that we have. That feeling we get when we eat food or going some places, anticipation, how excited we can get, let alone love. There may be conscious beings who don't love, because love is a chemical reaction to a point. Love is a state of chemical reaction that your brain can put you in to make your body function different. Same way with faith. We've evolved to trick ourselves. We've learned that mentally we can trick ourselves into feeling certain ways. Faith is one. You go to church, Pentecostal church, Holy Ghost. Oh my God. Everybody around you, you get it going. Or at a concert, you just bring that mojo or that serotonin, dopamine, whatever it is up. You can feel it. Football game, screaming. Oh my gosh, the Steeler game. I was there with my son, Jets playoff game. And the Jets was kicking a field goal to win the game. And the fans were just going so crazy. I was just screaming. We was just screaming. And he missed that field goal. Oh my God. Oh my God. It was just a feeling. You know, it was just a feeling that, you know, we've, as human beings, have evolved to have. We learned how to do that. There's going to be creatures out there in the universe. There are creatures out there in the universe, I guarantee it, who don't have that. Hell, there's creatures like that on our own planet that don't have that and are functioning. They've been functioning longer than we have. They may function longer than we have. Because if it's about survival, we really don't need a lot of this stuff. We could be like ants and be robotic. But if we were, would we be able to develop concepts that we've developed? One of which may be to get off this planet in so many years, or to, you know, populate the universe to ensure the survival of this life form. Because eventually, it is going to go away, billions and billions of years. We'll probably be, you know, we won't be who we are now. We probably won't be recognizable in that time frame. But, you know, the exploration, thought, and philosophy, I wonder if we can have all that and not have love or the need or loneliness. If we could be like almost instinctive like ants, but have a drive to learn and create. I wonder if they could be separated. Learn, create, and discover, and evolve, and experiment, and have laws. But we wouldn't need laws to govern ourselves, because all our actions would be governed by instinct. So we don't, and maybe that freedom of consciousness, knowing thyself, I'm trying to tie that to the apple in the Garden of Eden, whatever they call it, you know, when she bit the apple, self-knowledge, whatever it's called. When I opened my eyes and I first saw we could do what we want. The first time mankind realized, hey, look, I'm not governed by this anymore. I'm free to think this way. You know, as that dawn of man. When they first said, oh, okay, they got to start making decisions. And they're no longer, it had to probably start off as a small clan of them. Maybe one or two, you know, and maybe that species obviously survived and multiplied. It was successful. Because whatever plan it had a plan that was more successful than others. And that's the definition of evolution. It had a plan that was more successful than others. That's why it survived. And Neanderthal faded away. The other versions, species of man that fade away, they were, you know, a lot of people say Cro-Magnon or whatever, Neanderthal, Homo sapiens killed them all or whatever. Or did they live side by side or whatever. Gene pool, you know, to evolve into the Homo sapiens we are today. But there was a spark. There was one or two of us who had this gift. And they survived and they made it. And maybe we should go back and celebrate them. Those first conscious apes, primates or whatever. That fostered, if that's the word, all of this into what we are now. Because I love what we are now. I love what we are now, probably because I'm in the time of what we are now. I don't want to know. It's like we got enough information behind us. We got enough capability behind us. We built this infrastructure of life and traffic lights and streets and cars and telephone lines and post offices and distribution and Walmarts. It's magnificent. To me, it is truly a magnificent. It is a monumental achievement. Even politics, even the political system, no matter how, the idea of democracy. Oh, what is this? This dude, oh, somebody was driving their bike. And the cat laying across the middle of the thing that we saw, he had to get off the bike. She had to get off the bike and go around him. She didn't want to go on the grass. Yeah. So that's what that's about, who we are. What we will be. And like right now, we don't know. We're like in the middle. And of course, I'm sure Isaac Newton, you know, Einstein, everybody probably said this is a good time to be alive based on, you know, where they're at and what they're doing. It's alive. Based on where they at and what they doing. You think the time you're at now is the best time to be alive, and you should, because it's the only time you're alive. the age of the internet, the age of YouTube and podcasts, the age of information. It's beautiful and it's wonderful. It's everything. Well, everything might be a strong word and being overly dramatic, but you kind of know what I mean. You kind of know what I mean. Anyhow, did I talk enough today? I think I definitely want to go home today and splice this up. I definitely want to splice this up to compact it, to take that fat out. And I may, even though it's kind of against my principle, I may start consciously sticking to the topic and not straying away. But I'm just going to let it play out. Whatever happens, happens. Because maybe whatever happens, happens. Maybe it's the thing that needed to happen. Maybe the fat that I leave in there and the wandering thoughts that intertwine between a point I'm trying to pound in will benefit me. Whatever benefit means. There is no right or wrong, up or down. What does benefit mean? Benefit only works if you have a goal in mind. What's my goal? To be great? Remember, we went over this. We went over this. Were you paying attention? Do I want to be great? Do I want to help humanity? Do I want fame, fortune? What I want to do probably is develop some profound, astounding philosophy or ideas or discoveries and be credited for it. that's probably it. I just want to come up. I don't really want the fame. Like, oh, he discovered this. And, you know, oh, become super famous to where I can't walk outside or something. You know, I don't want that. That I don't want. I don't want that at all. I had to give that person a look. People start easing up on you before you get, you know, kind of cross their path in the car. If you turn around and look them in their face, they'll stop. You give them that look, they'll stop. See, like that, when I throw that in there, when I was making a profound statement about what I want. Do I? I don't want to be famous to where I can't go out. I don't want my freedom, you know, compromised because I got a little bit of fame. But I do want to be recognized. I just want to discover. I just want to discover and develop ideas and philosophies. And I love it when they fit. When something I said 20 years ago still fits into something, to an idea that I get today, like I just realized it, but I see it from a different angle, and it really just fits in there. Like when I found objectivism, Ayn Rand's objectivism, it basically was saying everything I've been saying for the last 30 years. It was just so beautiful how it just fit in there. And then to see her talk and the way she approached things and did this and did that, and the fact that she was Russian, you know, I got a thing for that whole Russian culture. Always have, all the way going back to the Olympics and Olga Korbut and Nadia Comaneci, and for whatever reason, I have no idea. That kind of staunch, you know, fall in line, regimented lifestyle, everything for the state. I have definitely a passion for that or attraction to that, but also my whole funky side is to disrupt that. My whole funky thing is all about disrupting that and being that crazy one and to be outside the box. So it's kind of I know I gotta have both. You know, to be funky, you gotta have unfunk. To be funky, you gotta have unfunk. Because if everybody funky, nobody's funky. See what I mean? If everybody is funky, nobody is funky. So you gotta have that staunch. I keep using the word staunch, formalize. You know, follow the crowd, plain vanilla side of life. And I definitely have that in my life. Regimented, no flair. I'm minimalistic in my house, not too ornamental or ornate or whatever, just plain, you know, straightforward. I definitely have loved that side of myself. Empty, bare counters. But where I want to flare out and maybe not glamorous, but to be a little bit extra, and is thinking out the box, the philosophy, the ideas, the energies. So I do respect the church and the formality of the church and the rules and all that, because to be funky, I need that. To be outside of that, you got to have something to be outside of to be funky. Anyhow, so we're only out two times. For me, for the funk. And for every elementary particle that's ever existed in any atom in this or any universe that ever was, is or will be. Totality of it all. Theory of universe. Hypothesis of all as one. My name is Jeffrey.